Brother Mark, do you remember Brother Frank Rogers? Brother Frank was a member of our church in Maryland, and he was in the hospital for a long time, close to Johns Hopkins, where Brother Mark was going to school. And every afternoon, Brother Mark would take him a Klondike bar, and he had a lot of good instruction and counsel and sayings. But one of the things that he said was, if more than three people go to sleep in the congregation, you need to wake the preacher up. So I'll try to stay awake. I don't know. Sometimes after such a wonderful meal, that may be a challenge. When I was a little boy, 3 or 4 years old, I asked my grandmother, I said, Grandmother, why is it that every time Granddad sits down, he goes to sleep? And she said, well, Stephen, he's an old man. Well, every time I sit down now, I go to sleep, and I remember what grandmother said, and I'm falling in that category. I'd like to continue on with the thoughts that we looked at this morning for a little while and pray that God would bless us for a few more minutes this evening. We looked at the instruction, especially for young folks, all of us, but especially for young folks, that we need to remember that there is an alarm, and that the alarm is that we be mindful of the fiery darts and the wicked tactics of Satan, that we not be deceived concerning Satan and his attacks, that we abstain from evil communication, that we associate with folks that are godly and that love the Lord, that we attempt to not be affected by peer pressure and abstain from all appearance of evil, that we attempt to remember early on and to start early on, not later in our life, but early on, to remember our Creator. And that the best time to do that, the scriptures say, is in our youth. So we've looked at some of the things that we're to abstain from. We begin to look at some of the principles that are taught that will actually help us along the way. And we looked at this morning that we are to honor our father and mother, and we do that by being obedient to them, that God has designed and given us this wonderful blessing of a mother and father. Want to expand on that. I believe that not only has God given us the blessing of a mother and father to direct us and guide us and give us counsel, but oftentimes God blesses us with wonderful grandparents. I am very, very thankful to the Lord for the blessing of having godly grandparents. My grandparents were a great blessing in my life, and I believe in the church today. I know God could have used another source of means, but he did it through my grandparents and the influence that I had with my grandparents, that they had with me, and I'll always be thankful for that great blessing. It's made a difference in my life. In Psalms chapter 1, we'll look at a few verses here in Psalms chapter 1. If you want to jot these down, you can go home and read them later in more detail. Brother George used to give us homework. He'd say, I want you to take this home, and I want you to read it over again. And so he would remind us and give us a little bit of homework. Psalms chapter 1, this will be very helpful in standing against the fiery darts of Satan. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do you know what? There's all kinds of counsel that you can get. The world is anxious to give you counsel. But very little counsel that you receive in the world is going to be godly counsel. Some folks will give you counsel based on their experience. Well, that's fine as long as it's based on God's word. But just being based on your experience does not make it right. It needs to be based on, and you need to be able to compare it with God's word. And he says right here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He mentions not standing in the way of sinners or sitting in the seat of the scornful or walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Basically, he says, don't associate with them and don't pattern your life after them. I mentioned this morning that God blesses especially young people with the great blessing of having a godly mother and father or grandparents. But another aspect that I believe that God blesses us with and if you have the fellowship of a church family, you're blessed immensely in this way. God blesses us with godly pastors. If you have a pastor, I know there's several different areas and churches that are represented here, but if you have a pastor that has a pastor's heart and a heart for the flock, that's a special blessing. It is. Paul told the church at Philippi, he recommended to them Timothy. And he says, I have no other man that will likewise care for your estate, for your concerns. It's interesting, but there's a whole lot that oftentimes is going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. It's interesting how God prepares a church body, and at the same time he prepares a pastor or pastors to labor in that church family. But if you've got a pastor that cares for you and that loves you and cares for your needs, you have a great, great blessing. Brother Kenny and I had the blessing, Brother Don, of having Brother George as a father in the ministry. We couldn't have asked for a better pastor. If we had a problem, Brother George knew about it. If he knew about it, he was there. And if we had a problem, it was also his problem. He made all of us feel like that we were his best friends. I thought that I was, and Brother Kenny thought he was, and Brother Don thought he was. And then when we came to his funeral, we realized that 700 other people thought that they were. God used him and blessed him in a special way with a pastor's heart. Remember the blessing of Brother Don's father, Brother Afton. Brother Afton he wanted you to grow spiritually, and it was his desire to see you prosper in the Lord. And he was like family to us. And he made you feel like that you were almost related to him, and ultimately we were. Kinship and kin in Christ, kindred in Christ. And for a young fellow, when I came to the fellowship of the church family at 15 years of age, that was a very difficult time. There were a whole lot of directions that could have been pursued. Yet having the blessing of Brother Afton, with the tremendous impact that he had at that point in my life, I'll always be thankful for. And no, there's no doubt that these men and others, and godly brothers and sisters, I think about Brother and Sister Nichols that used to sit back over here, and Brother and Sister Towns that was over here, and Brother and Sister Johnson that was up here, and Brother Afton and Sister Opal, and just can look among that those that have gone on to be with the Lord, and what a difference and an impact that they made in our lives at that age. So not only does God bless us with a godly mother and father and with grandparents, but he blesses us with pastors, and he blesses us with brothers and sisters in Christ. And all of those together are a great encouragement and a great help in serving the Lord. Now he says right here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he comes down and he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He says, first of all, we don't need to seek counsel from ungodly, but we do need to seek counsel from godly folks. As I've mentioned, and some of you met new Elder Compton. I think we brought him out to Texas in different areas. He lived to be 102, and Elder Compton and Sister Compton were married 76 years. Well, if we had folks in the church that had marital problems, who do you think we went to? It wasn't to me, but it was, I'd load them up oftentimes, and I'd take them down to Washington, D.C., and Elder Compton, who had a wonderful, wonderful marriage, 76 years, would encourage and counsel and help them. In his law doth he meditate, delight in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It gives the indication that that the tree that is by the river is strong. It's able to stand and weather the storms of life. The storms are going to come. There's no way that we're going to escape the storms here in this life. Some may not be as intense as others. Some may be extremely intense. But for the child of God that's meditating and focusing upon the law of the Lord, that's seeking counsel from godly brothers and sisters, from pastors, from God's word, praying to Jesus Christ, that individual is able to stand even in the midst of the terrible storms of life. He said, the tree that's planted by the rivers of water, it bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff. You've probably seen the wheat fields in the area around. And it doesn't take much wind. Anybody here know what wind is? I have to say that's one thing I don't miss. The effects of the wind. If the chaff is tall, especially if it's dry, it doesn't take much wind for it to lay over and to feel the effect of the wind. He says the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You've probably witnessed and seen in your life individuals that when challenges and storms come in their life, they're just totally overwhelmed. If you don't have the Lord in your life, you don't have anything to stand on. Your own strength, your own ability is not going to hold you up. It's not going to sustain you. You need the strength of the Lord. Now, let's go to chapter 6 of Ephesians, and we'll read these verses and conclude the service. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, this helps young folks and all of us. This gives us the tools that we need. It helps us to be able to stand against the fiery darts of Satan. You say, is it even possible to stand against Satan? I feel sometimes to be defeated. I feel sometimes to be overwhelmed. Well, Paul says that it is possible. And let's look at what he says right here. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. If we think for a minute that we can stand on our own strength against the fiery darts and the challenges and the enticements and the temptations of Satan, we are deceived, because we don't have the power to stand against Satan. He says, finally, brethren, be strong, not in yourself, not in others, but be strong in the Lord. If we're able to stand in defense of the fiery darts of Satan, it's not in our own strength, it's not in our own ability, it's not in our own accomplishments, but it's in the Lord. It's the Lord dwelling in us. It's the Lord giving us the ability and the power to stand against sin. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's where our strength lies. It's appropriate to cry to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm weak. Lord, I need your strength. I need your help. I need you to encourage me. I need you to equip me to be able to stand against the fiery darts of Satan. And then he says, put on the whole armor of God. So I have some really good evidence to share with you here that it is encouraging and it is hopeful that we can stand against the temptations and fiery darts of Satan, because right here he says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says, I've got some equipment for you that's going to help you to be able to stand when Satan attacks you, When you feel like that you are a target for the arrows of Satan and that they're coming your way one after one and you feel like that you're overwhelmed, he says, I've got some good news for you. I've got some equipment for you. He says, I've got some armor for you. But you know what he says? And this is interesting right here. He says, you've got to put it on. It's interesting that he doesn't put it on us. He says, you've got to put it on. Let's look at what he says right here. Put on the whole armor of God. It's interesting that he says this point. He says, put on the whole armor. Sometimes we have a tendency that we may put on part of the armor. Or we may leave a little bit of the armor aside. We may think, well, I don't really need that portion of the armor. I'll be okay. Let me tell you, if you leave some of the armor off, if there's an area that you leave off, I guarantee you that's where Satan's going to attack you. He's crafty. He's sneaky. And if you don't put on the whole armor of God, that's exactly where Satan's going to attempt to attack. Let's look at this armor that he talks about right here. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. By the way, it's his armor. It's not ours. He says, put on the whole armor that you can stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers of darkness, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. You probably know better than anybody else how Satan attacks you. I'm not going to tell you all the ways Satan attacks me, but I'll tell you a couple of them. I noticed it probably 20 plus years ago. And I've got to where I almost expect it. I'd been invited to attend a 3-day church meeting. It wasn't here in Lubbock, but it was a 3-day church meeting. And I'm telling you, as the time began to near within the week coming up to it, I'm telling you what, Satan began to launch an all-out attack. He didn't want me going to that meeting. And he almost discouraged me to the point that I didn't go to the meeting. Every day as things got closer, I began to have big challenges at work. Things began to go wrong. Car began to break down. Refrigerator went out. I'm telling you, it was just one thing after another that went wrong. And I remember telling Justin, Mark's brother, we were working together at the time, and I said, you know, I don't think I'm going to go to that meeting. I said, I just feel like that I'm so discouraged. I feel like I've been attacked by Satan. And he said, you know what? And this is a principle that I learned early on. He said, you know what? Even if you don't preach, you need to go to the meeting. You go and you try to serve the Lord. Even if you don't feel like that God has put anything on your heart to preach, Satan had attacked me to the point that I thought, how can I possibly go and encourage somebody else when I'm so discouraged myself? So I went ahead and went at Brother Justin's counsel 20 plus years ago. And I tell you what, it ended up being one of the best meetings that I'd ever been to. The Lord was there. And I realized that Satan was throwing his fiery darts and attacks because he didn't want me to be there. And he thought if he could discourage me, then I wouldn't go. We had a church service up in Southampton, Pennsylvania. And there were two busloads. This was back in the early 90s. There were two busloads. And the church that we were going to had not had services for many, many years. We had two busloads of brothers and sisters in Christ that were traveling up Interstate 95. Brother Freddie Bowen was on one of the buses. I can't remember who all the ministers were, but Brother Freddie Bowen was on one of the buses, maybe Elder Lawrence or Elder Guess, I'm not sure. But as we were about 45 minutes away, it had been announced, and there were people from the community that were interested in that came to the service in this old building that was built in the early 1700s. And as we began to get closer, we were about 30 miles away. All of a sudden, right in front of us, just a few miles, there was a large explosion of a tire factory where they make tires. And they closed the interstate. And we sat there for probably, it seemed like 3 or 4 hours, maybe it was longer than that. And the thought came to mind. Now, I know that God is sovereign, and He could have made a way for us to get there, but we didn't get there. There was about 70 people from the community that came to this worship service. But there was not a doubt in my mind that Satan did not want the gospel proclaimed in an area that it had not been proclaimed in many years. Later we went, continued going, and later the Lord blessed a church to start right in that area. And it's still there today. But Satan delights to hinder where he can and throw fiery darts. The folks that I labor with in Maryland have come to realize that before we have a large meeting, when challenges come, they'll oftentimes now, they'll text me and say, "Brother Stephen, I just want you to know it's going to be a good meeting. I've got personal evidence that it's going to be a great meeting." Because Satan likes to hinder the work. Satan doesn't want the gospel proclaimed. All right, we'll just, in 10 or 15 minutes, we'll try to look at this spiritual armor. It is so good. It's so valuable for all of us. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the evil in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." I tell you what, the truth of the gospel is such a great comfort. It's such a great blessing. My soul has been blessed and fed. I look at life different. I look at God's word. I believe in more light and in a correct way when I realize the truth that Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins, and He did it completely, and He did it in full. The truth does have a freedom effect in it. He says that the truth's going to set us free, and I delight in that. And that'll affect your entire life when you embrace the truth of who Christ is, of what Christ has done, of the price that He paid, and how it affects your life. "Take unto you the whole armor of God." He says, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Well, first of all, we're vile, guilty, depraved sinners, but we've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we can claim the righteousness of Christ. When Satan begins to throw those fiery darts, we can remind him that you can't separate us from the love of God because He paid the price for us. We claim the righteousness of Christ. "Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." We have been blessed through the years, and I count this just a great joy and a blessing to know godly men that labored for peace among the Lord's people. Godly men that wanted to feed the Lord's people and encourage the Lord's people, that didn't spend their time stirring up discord and strife along the way. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, it tells us that there's 6 things the Lord hates, yea, 7 are an abomination, and the 7th is he that soweth discord among the brethren. If I find somebody that begins to sow and stir discord, I put a little bit of distance between myself and them, because I know that Satan doesn't like that. The Lord does not like that. The Lord opposes it, and I want to put some distance between myself and someone sowing seeds of discord. He says we're to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, I remember Brother Afton sharing the principle of faith. He said that one of his sons, it may have been Brother Don, it may have been Charles, that the coach told his son, said, if you don't have faith, you better go out and get some. He was talking about winning a game against an opposing team, but he said, if you don't have faith, by tomorrow you better go get some faith. Well, I've got some good news for you. You've got faith because you've got spiritual life. And as a result of the quickening and the spiritual life, the faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So you have faith. You just oftentimes need to exercise the faith that God's given you. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You have faith because you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. And that's one of the great blessings of being able to walk by faith. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I believe faith encourages us and helps us along the way. Faith helps us to know that we don't have to understand or we don't have to see everything that's going on around us, everything that's going on behind us. We just have to embrace the promises of God. If we just simply grab a hold of and claim the promises of God, it helps us as we walk by faith here in this life. We don't have to see and understand everything that's going on. I don't see the angels, but I sure believe they're there. If you don't believe in angels, travel up our way and drive along Interstate 95. And by the time you get to where you're going, you'll believe in angels. They intervene and intercede oftentimes. Share this little story with you. The other day, about a month ago, there were a group of us that met at church one afternoon, and several of the young folks, and our church parking lot is on a small incline. And so I backed up into the space, and there were several of us that were gathered around, and I got out quickly and was probably didn't have my mind on what I was supposed to and thinking about something else. And so I got out real quick. I walked around to the side of the car where there was about a half a dozen folks that were on the side. And all of a sudden, my car starts rolling down the driveway slowly toward the street. I jump in the passenger side of the car, and I'm trying to get across to reach the device to put it in park and realize you got to turn the key to get it in park. And there was a young man, attends our church. He's a big young man, Bray Epen is his name, about 20 years old. And I looked up, and Bray stepped in front of the car with one hand, and he stopped the car. It had just started rolling, but he stopped it. And I thought, wow. I mean, that's like the Incredible Hulk. I said, Bray, I knew you were strong, but I was just so impressed. So on Wednesday night, I was telling his mom about what happened, and I said, and I couldn't believe it, but Bray stepped in front of the car, and it stopped. And his mother said, what was my son doing standing in front of a car? She was kind of upset with me that he got out in front of the car. And I told his dad, and I said, I couldn't believe how strong Bray was. He stepped up there, and he just barely put his hand on the car, and it stopped. Bray overheard me telling his dad, and he said, Brother Stephen, he said, you didn't see it, but there were six people that got on the back of the car that was holding the back bumper, the back door handle, and all around there was people that was holding the back. All I saw was Bray in the front. And I thought he was the Incredible Hulk, but there was a whole lot going on behind the scenes that I didn't know anything about. And do you know what? That's what faith helps us to understand, that there's a whole lot going on behind the scenes that we don't know anything about. That God's taken care of us, and He will take care of us, and He'll help us along the way. And that helps us go forward knowing that God's working things for our good and for His glory. He is. He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's God's Word right here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, he says, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He says, pray always. You say, well, how do you pray always? I was, had considered, still might, but I'd considered preaching on prayer and fasting. But after such a wonderful meal that we had at noontime, I thought it's probably not the most appropriate time to do that. I still believe that there's a great principle in it. But when we enter into serving and worshiping God through fasting, it also reminds us to be more mindful to pray. You go through a period of fasting, and it's taught in God's Word, Matthew chapter 6. It's taught in many other areas in the New Testament that there's things that are accomplished through prayer and fasting, that that's the only way that they can be accomplished. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Coming before the Lord with a contrite, broken heart and saying, Lord, I just simply need your help. I don't know about you, but sometimes as we go through life, we take things to the Lord when we think we've got it figured out. And then we say, Lord, we want you to put your stamp of approval on it. All we want is your seal of approval on what we think that we need, when in essence, he knows far better what we stand in need of. Lord sees the big picture. We can only see a small portion right here, but God sees the big picture. Thank goodness God doesn't give us everything that we ask for, but God gives us everything we need. One old sister, Sister Elsie, she was actually married to Brother Frank, and before she passed away, she said, Brother Stephen, she's 84 years old. She said, God did not give me all of my wants, but God gave me all of my needs. Doesn't God give us even above our needs? He is so good to us. He's so compassionate. He's a loving Father. We can go to him over and over and over again. I've known children, and I think, how in the world do the parents just continue to tolerate that the child just goes over and over and over again and asks for the same thing? And yet the parent, God gives an extra amount of grace and patience. But yet we're instructed by God's Word to go to the Lord over and over and over again. And he's not going to rebuke us for our continual coming, but he hears us and he cares. You have a loving Father who knows your needs. Now, for parents and for pastors and for friends, I believe there's a principle that's taught in the book of Job, that God has a hedge. I believe God's got a hedge about our nation. I believe he does. My father watches the news much more than I do, and he stays worked up so much more than I do. And I remind him, but Dad, God's in control. He is. I believe that the principle that's taught in Job chapter 1, that God has a hedge of protection about us, around each one of us. And with all of the challenges that young folks are faced with today, we should band together and we should pray together that God would strengthen those hedges of protection about the young people. We ought to be praying that God put that hedge of protection about them to not let Satan break through and penetrate to that little child. I pray for our young folks often that God will protect them and watch over them. I think that's a privilege that we have. We ought to be praying for our churches. We ought to be praying for our young folks. We ought to be praying for our nation. Brother Don prayed for the troops and those that guard our country. We ought to bathe them in prayer, because he's the one that can protect us. You're a great blessing. You young folks have many years ahead of you. Remember your Creator in your youth and serve him. You will not regret it. Some of us that are older, we look back and we say, you know what, I've got some regrets. Anybody here have regrets? You will never regret being a disciple of Christ and following the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you.